Let's get into it this morning. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to take a step, but you felt totally unprepared and terrified, and you're wondering, this thing that I'm about to do, is this a good idea? Have you ever been there before? I remember when Jess and I were dating, which feels like not that long ago, and I was getting ready to buy the engagement ring. And I remember going through that process, and the funny thing was is that I was going in and out of Toronto for school back and forth, and what I realized was that I had to be, you know, I wanted to be stealthy, because how many know church people a little bit nosy? And so I would shop in Toronto. And that was a really intense and terrifying experience, because that was like the next step. That was a big, bold move. And I remember even after I had finally bought the ring, I just remember this level of uncertainty, like, would I be a good enough husband? Would she say yes? What would things look like? Just so many fears and doubts. And in the faith journey and taking steps forward, I think there's many of us who carry fear, a fear of being unprepared or inadequate. If you're just visiting with us this morning or just newly connecting, we've been in a series called by Name over the last few weeks, and we've been looking at different individuals and situations in the Bible where God has called each person by name and given them a purpose. And if you're, you know, again, if you're just joining and catching up, as a church family and as people who follow Jesus, we believe that every person has been given gifts and abilities that by God that are unique to them. And we believe from Scripture that everyone has a purpose that is uniquely given to them. You specifically have a role to play in the kingdom. But for some in the room, and for some of us online, that is a pretty big statement. Maybe this morning you're not sure about this Jesus fellow. And it's not to say that you're against him, you're just not sure you're ready to take that next step and follow him with your whole heart and your whole life. Or maybe you feel like God is tugging on your heart and to take a next step, and you've already counted yourself out. Maybe you think that God's calling is for people that are smarter than you, people that know all the right church words, people who, like myself, never lose their temper, and people who seem spiritually polished. I heard that chuckling. And if that's you this morning, and you feel like you are already counted out and you just aren't ready, there's good news for you. God still wants to use you, even though you feel like you are not enough and you're not ready. So if you're with me in that, we're going to be looking in the New Testament at a person in the Bible who was absolutely not ready to walk into what Jesus had called him into. And we're going to pick it up in John chapter 1, starting at verse 35. And this is what it says. The following day, John was standing with the two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, Jesus looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. And verse 42 says, "Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, 'Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas,' which means Peter." Now, just so we can get ourselves situated in the text, because text without context is kind of scary, as Pastor Curtis would say. We got to understand what's happening here. For generations, the Jewish people, which are God's covenant people, have been waiting for God to send the Messiah, a rescuer and a king who would restore them into the fullness, and he would lead them. And into that expectation came John the Baptist. And he was a prophet, a sort of spokesperson, calling people to prepare their hearts for God's arrival. And just a moment before in the text, John publicly points to Jesus and says, "Look, there is the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the one we're looking for." And this text, our text this morning, marks the moment where some of Jesus' very first followers begin leaving their old lives behind to follow him. And this is where we first meet Simon. And if we read through the rest of the Gospels, and we kind of focus on Simon through the rest of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we would see that he seems not quite ready to do what Jesus has asked him to do. Not someone you would look at and see as a solid, dependable, visionary leader that could lead a movement. He's not even your sort of polished, well-put-together type of disciple either. Peter is the disciple I think that most of us can relate to because Peter keeps saying the wrong thing at the wrong time at full volume. He's kind of the people's disciple. He's passionate. He lives loudly. He's impulsive. Like an upside-down pizza, he's all over the place. He's loyal, but he's inconsistent. He's insecure, and he's trying to get what's his. He's driven by his emotions, and he's fearful. And we look at Simon Peter in the Gospels, we don't get a picture of a person who is ready to take that step and lead the church into the future. Here's a really good picture of Simon, then Peter. And it's this funny moment. If you skip to the end of John in chapter 21, you read about this little spat that he and John are having. In verse 20, it says, "Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved," which, by the way, is John who's writing that. "This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at supper and had said, 'Lord, who is going to betray you?'" And verse 21 says, "When Peter saw him, he asked, 'Lord, what about him?' Jesus answered, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you?'" And right here in the Gospels, Peter is still insecure and comparing himself to other people right in front of Jesus. But if we got in a time machine this morning and we fast-forwarded more than 3 years past where we pick up our text this morning, we would meet Peter in Acts chapter 2. Peter, who is preaching boldly and confidently, he's leading Christ's church as it grows, and it grows with a godly confidence, humility, and wisdom. We would see a visionary leader, a servant who is passionate and thoughtful. He is secure in himself. He knows what he's about. He's the kind of leader that is easy to follow. The Peter we see in Acts chapter 2 is not the Simon that we see in John chapter 1. And the truth this morning is that before Peter ever preached a sermon or walked on water or led the church or was anywhere near ready, Jesus called him. Simon is exactly the person who Jesus calls. And so this morning, I think there are three truths that we can take away about what to do when we don't feel like we're ready to take that next step. And the first is that on the journey, you have to learn to ignore the perfect. Now, if we come back to our text this morning, Jesus looks at Simon and he does a curious thing. He names him. He says, "You are Simon, son of John." For the ancient people of Israel, names were very significant. Names spoke about character, they spoke about personhood, they spoke about your identity. In the culture and the context of the day, your name was not just an identifier, it was your identity. It was who you are. And what Jesus is doing here for Simon is he is putting all of the laundry out on the line, the good, the bad, and the otherwise. He's saying, you are Simon, I see you. You are an ordinary fisherman, unstable, impulsive, and reactive. I see you, I see who you are, I see your flaws, I see your mistakes, I see you in your imperfection, in your insecurities, and I see you at your worst moments. This is a cutting and penetrating look into all of who Simon is. And it's a very, very vulnerable place for him to be at because he has nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. And Jesus is not just identifying his weaknesses, he's identifying all that Simon is. All that he is, the good, the bad, and the otherwise. But notice what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't turn away. He doesn't degrade him, and he doesn't reject him. Instead, Jesus calls Simon closer. And somebody needs to hear that this morning because some of us are terrified that if Jesus really saw everything, he would push us away. But Jesus calls Simon closer, and he calls you closer, and he calls me closer, just as he is and just as we are. But it's funny in the journey because somewhere along the way, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we've picked up this idea that there are certain standards that we need to meet in order to follow Jesus or take that next step. Maybe, possibly because we have tied our sense of who we are and our sense of our own self-worth in up in what we do, what we can reduce, or the things that we own. And maybe this morning you're caught in the trap of thinking that you can only take the next step if once you clean your life up, or once your faith is stronger, or once I quit this bad habit, or once I deal with my insecurities. And subconsciously, I wonder if we kind of make it out to be like trying to make a competitive team. And if that's you today, I want to tell you there is no minimum standard that you need to meet to take a next step. There are no tryouts where only the qualified get to follow Jesus. He knows who you are, he knows your shortcomings, and he still calls you closer. He is not trying to cut you from the roster. Look at Simon. His life isn't really that clean. His faith is not really that strong. He's as insecure as the day is long. He wasn't ready, and he wasn't even the first in line that day. His brother and his friends had to come and get him. But Jesus still invites him to come closer. And for the next 3 years, Simon is invited to walk with Jesus day in and day out, to learn from him, to be close to him, to have his life changed. And that's all not to say that character doesn't matter and holiness doesn't matter. These are good things. We are called to be people of strong character, and we are called to a measure of holiness. The key here, what I'm trying to get at, is that you do not have to wait until you're perfect or even until you think you're ready to take a next step. And I think sometimes people miss what God has for them because they keep waiting to become perfect before they take that next step. We all have our baggage. We all have our insecurity. But you have to ignore the perfect because no one is perfect and no one is perfectly ready. It's kind of like when to get married and when to have kids. There's never going to be a perfect time. You just have to do it, but in that order. It's important to remember that sometimes, even in spite of ourselves, all the time, Jesus invites us to come close. You don't have to have it all together to follow Jesus. Jesus met Simon as Simon, but he refused to leave him there. Which brings us to the second principle this morning, which is that we need to look into the future. Because Jesus sees Peter, that's important. Jesus sees Peter before Peter does. When I bought Jess's engagement ring, and then we got married on that cool, drizzly day in May, I didn't feel totally ready to be a husband, and to be totally honest, I wasn't. But the beautiful mystery of marriages, and please don't look at your spouse or even think about nudging them, is that on the day that you say I do, you're not marrying and you're not saying yes to the finished version. And praise Jesus, they're not saying yes to the finished version of you. And the key, and this is what Jesus is doing with Simon. He's telling Simon, look, this is who you are. And he invites him to come close, but he doesn't leave him there. He says, this is who you are. You are Simon. Oh, but this is who you're going to be. And what happens next in the text is so wildly interesting in the day and the culture, because Jesus gives Simon a new name, Cephas, which means Peter, which we can loosely translate it into the English as rock. We have a lot of that here. Jesus is revealing the future that he has for Simon. He is showing him a taste of what he most truly is called to be, a rock. And the great part about this morning's story is we already know the ending. Because if you flip forward and you look into the first few chapters of Acts, and I've already alluded to this, we get to witness how this all plays out. We get to see already the fullness of Peter being the rock. Look at this. Today, this morning, churches around the world are celebrating Pentecost. And for us as Pentecostals, that's kind of like our spiritual birthday. And it ties in with our message so beautifully, because it was Peter who stood up and explained to the crowds what was happening when the Spirit came down on the believers and they were indwelt with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues. In Acts chapter 2, we read this. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And if you skip down to verse 14, we read, then Peter stood up with the other 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. And here is Peter, don't miss this. Here's Peter with confidence and courage and humility. He's preaching to the crowds. And in verse 41 tells us, on that day, 3,000 people were added to the believers. In the next moment, in chapter 3, he and John, which is the person he was having the little spat with, are empowered by the Spirit to heal a lame man. And then another chapter later, Peter and John are being severely questioned by the religious leaders of the day for healing that man. And Peter, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, tells us is filled with the Spirit and gives us defense, and that ends with them being released. The Peter that we see in Acts chapter 2 and beyond is not the same Simon that first encounters Jesus. Jesus sees Peter before Peter ever sees Peter. He sees the rock that can become a healthy, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-filled leader. He sees a strong, compassionate, and passionate person who has humility, wisdom, and capability to lead this fledgling church as it begins to grow and flourish. And the good news today for you and for me is that Jesus does the same thing for us. He meets you where you're at. He meets me where I'm at. He calls us by our name, but he loves us entirely too much to leave us there. And the truth this morning is that whether you accept it or not, and whether you believe it or not, and I'm going to say it again and again and again, is that you have God-given gifts, abilities, talents, and you've been given a role to play in the kingdom. And ultimately, through the cross and the resurrection, as he did with Peter, Jesus makes a way for you and me to step into that. To step into that new identity and that new purpose. And the truth is this morning is that when you're feeling like you're not ready, or you don't measure up, or your spiritual batting average is not where you think it needs to be, it's good to pause and to remember that. That you have a God-given future. Because just as the same as for Peter, God is calling you to take a next step, and he's calling you to the purpose and the plan that he has for you. He wants to give you a new name. He wants to free you from your old identity so that you can walk into the blessing that he has for you. It's like what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, for you, You are God's masterpiece, and he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Long ago, he gave you a plan and a purpose. But if you just feel like you're not ready or you don't measure up, it's okay. I am right there with you. There are many, many days where I feel woefully overwhelmed with feelings of inadequacy and feeling like I am just not worthy to be called a son. But in that, I want to encourage you, it is time to stop counting yourself out. You are not disqualified, you are not invaluable, and you are not beyond his grace. You are loved simply because Jesus says you are. And this may be a hard truth to hear this morning, but there is absolutely nothing that you can do to make him love you any more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. Can you do something with me for a second? Can we be brave and a little bit vulnerable? It's a little bit silly, this exercise we're going to do, so you got to go with it. But I had a mentor do it with me, and I found it was just incredibly meaningful. I've never forgotten. I want you, in your mind's eye, just, you don't have to close your eyes, but you can if you want. In your mind's eye, imagine it's the middle of the night, and for whatever reason, you're awake. And it's one of those beautiful summer nights, and it's cloudless, and you look up, and you see the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, you got that picture in your mind? There's thousands of stars, and there's planets, and there's things we haven't even discovered yet. You got it in your mind? You see all that? That's a beautiful sight. But you know that there was a person who spoke all that into being, right? You know who that is, right? You with me? Yeah, you're quiet. You know the one who spoke all that into being. Those thousands of planets and the sun and the stars and the galaxies. Now, imagine you're in his house. And, you know, he's having breakfast at the table. You know I'm talking about God, right? You got that? You tracking? Okay. He's having breakfast and you wake up and you pull up a chair beside him. Maybe you're having Fruit Loops, okay? Or whatever you have for breakfast. Pick your thing. It doesn't matter. But you look up and on his fridge is your picture. And the point is that the God who spoke our universe into existence, your picture is on his fridge. He knows you, all of you. He sees you, and he loves you. And he has given you divine purpose and a plan and a role for your life that no one else can carry out, and he invites you into more. Jesus knows who you are becoming, and he is calling you to more, even in spite of your failures, your worst moments, and your shortcomings. But, there's always a but, isn't there? The reality is that Simon did not walk into the fullness of Peter immediately the morning after verse 42. Unfortunately, it's not like he went into a phone booth as Simon and came out as Super Peter. This is the kind of journey that takes time. Jesus saw Peter before Peter saw Peter, but it didn't happen overnight. And that brings us to our third truth, is because you need to trust the process. So let's go back to the text real quick. Can you put that verse up for me, please, Felix and Ilona? You see that space right between you are Simon, son of John, space, you will be called Cephas. You see the space? Little gap there. That space is 3 years long. It took 3 years of walking with Jesus and then some. Literally walking with the person of Jesus in like bodily form. Simon walked and spent most every day with Jesus, and it still took 3 years for him to walk into the fullness of God's calling for his life. And in those 3 years, he still ended up playing the game of Simon Says. You know Simon Says? Simon Says, put your hand on your head. Simon Says, put your hand on your shoulder. Put your hand on your other shoulder. Okay, you're out. Simon plays Simon Says, and this is what he says. Simon says, I'm leaving fishing behind to follow you. And then he goes back to fishing. Simon says, I can walk on water. And then he falls in. Simon says, I'll totally trust you, Lord. And then he rebukes Jesus. Simon says, I'm loyal to you. And then refuses to have Jesus wash his feet. Simon says, I'll never deny you. What does he do? Denies him three times. And Simon says, Jesus is alive. And he goes back to the boats. And through it all, Jesus keeps calling Peter. And like he keeps calling Peter, Jesus keeps calling you and me into the plan that he has for us. And the key is this. Sometimes, lots of times, maybe most of the time, the path to walking in that plan and purpose is not linear. It's kind of like a yo-yo in an elevator. It's kind of like what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. I do what I hate. And the point, the reality is this morning, that I am not going to wake up and be fully walking in the plan that God has for me, and neither are you. And that's perfectly okay. The key to walking in all the amazing things that God has for you and for me is to trust the process. And the process is this. This is it. So if you're taking notes, this is the one you want to write down. Simon walks into the fullness of Peter by staying close to Jesus. I know it's super simplistic and kind of Sunday school-esque, but as a dear friend of mine once said, you are who you hang around with. And so if you want to take a next step and you want to walk into the purpose and the plan that he has for you, you got to stay close to him. Simon became Peter, the Spirit-empowered, passionately humble, wise, and kind leader by walking with Jesus day in, day out, in the boat, out of the boat. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, and we all of us, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. That's the hope for you this morning, for me. Because maybe this morning, if you're honest, you're feeling more like Simon than you are like Peter. You're feeling insecure, you're feeling inconsistent, and you're feeling unready. And I want to tell you that's a good thing, because that's exactly the kind of person that Jesus called and that Jesus calls today. And if Jesus can take an ordinary fisherman full of fear and insecurity and turn him into a rock, then imagine what he can do with a life that stays close to him. And the key is that transformation only happens when you stay close to Jesus. But what does that look like practically? So let me give you a few take-homes. The first thing is this. Be dependent instead of self-confident. Get some people around you, some people with good character who can speak into your life and who can challenge you in a healthy way, the kind who can encourage you and walk with you as you take that next step. And of course, get close to Jesus. Proximity to Jesus is the engine that drives transformation. In Acts chapter 4, we see this beautiful moment. Remember I was talking about the religious leaders were questioning Peter and John? I love verse 13. This is what it says. It says, I didn't put it on the screen, so forgive me. He says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Let me read that one more time, because I think it needs to be. When they saw the courage of you and me, of Peter and John, and realized they were unschooled and ordinary people, they were astonished, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. So that's the first one. Be dependent. Don't be independent. The second one is be confident, but stay humble, stay teachable. Because you got to play the long game and realize that sometimes there are moments that you're going to feel stretched or pulled or uncomfortable. And sometimes in the journey, those are the times that God is the most active and He is growing you into the person and place that He's called you to be. One of my mentors shared this with me, and I'm going to share it with you. It says, I thank God for three things. I thank God that I'm not who I was. The second thing is, I am who I am, and I am thrilled about that because, number three, I'm not who I'm gonna be. I thank God that I'm not who I was. Number two, I am who I am, and I am thrilled about that because I'm not who I'm gonna be. And the third practical thing, and this is the least helpful thing I'm gonna tell you this morning, is sometimes you just gotta do it scared. Maybe you just need to take a little step, because sometimes the smallest steps are the biggest. And sometimes the things that are most worth doing are the things that might terrify you the most. And so you gotta ask yourself, and you gotta ask the Lord, do I need to wait until I'm perfectly settled, or can I be both brave and scared? Can I take this next step and trust that Jesus will meet me there? And maybe the next step for you is saying yes to Jesus. Or maybe that next step for you is making that public declaration next week. Whatever it is, sometimes you just got to do it scared. Jesus didn't wait for Simon to become Peter before he called him. And Jesus isn't waiting for you to become perfect before he calls you either. Can I pray with you this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we sense that you are working in this place this morning. Lord, I sense that you are touching lives and hearts, God. And I pray this morning that there would be a spirit of courage that rises up, Lord. That there would be a spirit of taking the next step, God, that you would minister to those who are just not sure, Lord, that you would show them how much that you love them and you care for them and the amazing plan that you have for them. I thank you for the hearts and the lives that are represented in this place and online, God. I thank you that we are each your precious sons and daughters. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, as we go forth and as we go our separate ways, Lord, that you would give us courage, Father, that you would give us wisdom, Lord, that you would remind us that you are for us, that you are with us, and that you don't leave us where we are. So we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we give all these things to you, and in your wonderful name we say amen and amen. Just a reminder, if you're interested in getting baptized, that class is happening in the gym, and if you're looking for someone to pray with you, just personal prayer is going to be happening right up here on the stage. But bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of your day.